A written transcript of this episode is provided by Starburst. For more information, you can see the show notes.
Welcome to Data Mesh Radio with your host, Scott Hurlman, sponsored by Starburst. This is Adrian Estala, VP of Data Mesh Consulting Services at Starburst and host of Data Mesh TV. Starburst is the leading sponsor for Trino, the open source project, and Jamak's Data Mesh book, delivering data-driven value at scale. To claim your free book, head over to starburst.io.
Data Mesh Radio, a part of the Data as a Product podcast network, is a free community resource provided by DataStax. Data Mesh Radio is produced and hosted by Scott Hurlman, the co-founder of the Data Mesh Learning Community. This podcast is designed to help you get up to speed on a number of data mesh-related topics. Hopefully, you find it useful. Bottom line up front, what are you going to hear about and learn about in today's episode? I interviewed Carolina Hensel, Data Enablement Tribe Lead at T-Mobile Polska. Here are 12 high-level takeaways or thoughts that I think are from Carolina's point of view. Number one, business transformation and impact is what really matters. Digital transformation is just a mechanism to transform your business into being more digital native and focused. Data transformation is just a part of digital transformation. Transformation should all come down to driving positive business impact. Number two, to drive something like Data Mesh forward, you really need top management support, likely a C-level executive sponsor. Otherwise, it is very easy for work to get deprioritized and pushed out. Number three, don't take on a large-scale data initiative unless there are specific business challenges to address. Don't do data mesh for the sake of, you know, quote-unquote, being data-driven. What are the issues and why will addressing them help your business? Explicitly define the problems and the pain points. Number four, to drive change, look for a quote-unquote change agents in the domains. They are people with the will and capabilities to drive large-scale change. They aren't always easy to find, but once you start to identify them, patterns will emerge for you being able to identify more of them in additional domains. Number five, the big pain points T-Mobile Polska was facing were number one, poor/inconsistent data quality, number two, data discovery difficulties, and number three, slow time to market for new data and insights. So this is what they were trying to address when they actually started looking at doing data mesh. Number six, for T-Mobile Polska, they were able to move forward with data mesh because business representatives in the domains were bought in that addressing those pain points would drive incremental business value. There would be a return on the data work investment. Number seven, look for quick wins and how to deliver continuous incremental value. If it is all about producing a big bang, you will very likely lose momentum, prioritization, and funding. Continuous value delivery is crucial to keeping people excited about data work. Number eight, T-Mobile Polska's data quality issues were caused mostly by a lack of accountability and ownership, and not adhering to standard definitions across domains and reports. Number nine, a lack of standard definitions, or at least very clearly differentiated definitions, can cause things like numbers not matching across reports. And that makes people not trust the data. So drive domains to clearly define terms and, if possible, look to create standard definitions across the organization. Again, this is one where it makes sense, but also don't be overly rigid in that every single term has to have an organization-wide definition. Number 10, find KPIs that are focused on what actually impacts the business. Dave Coles mentioned fitness functions to break down measuring progress against big challenges into smaller measurements. Carolina and team are making sure the end result is business impact, not technical only change. You know, you really have to think about how does this impact the business. Number 11, you can drive buy-in that data producers should provide high quality data products by showing producers the impact their efforts are having. It can be a bit of a chicken and egg issue at first, you know, showing them the impacts before they have any impacts, but you can take the results from one domain or business and show them to another to drive buy-in. Number 12, T-Mobile Polska has a data owner in each domain that has high-level data ownership accountability. There is a data steward in each domain as well that is the subject matter expert. When needed, there is also a technical data steward, you know, an embedded data engineer, but it's not necessary in many domains. So I think if you're looking to understand a business point of view when looking at a data mesh implementation, this is one that's really going to be quite helpful. With that bottom line up front done, let's jump into the interview. Okay, very, very excited for today's episode. I've got Karolina Hensel here, who's the Data Enablement Tribe Lead at T-Mobile Polska in Poland. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. Karolina's kind of not as much on the technical direction side, but on the as the embedded business person in the kind of data mesh enablement and implementation team. So I think this is really, really helpful to think about how business obviously has to play a role in the implementation, and that what are we actually trying to accomplish with a data mesh implementation? If we're not focused on doing something that's beneficial to the business, don't do it, right? Like there has to be a return on this. So we're going to talk a lot about what they've learned through their journey and kind of where they're looking to head as well. So we're going to cover a lot of different things, but I think this is a really, really important aspect, especially for people that have focused much more on the technical side to kind of pop up to a higher level to think about like, why are we doing this? This needs to have a target outcome and a target benefit that we're trying to hit. So with that, Karolina, if you don't mind, if you could give a bit of an introduction to yourself, and then we can kind of jump into the conversation at hand.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about data mesh approach in T-Mobile Poland. I'm leading a data enablement tribe, and I'm responsible for data transformation towards a data-driven culture. Our transformation journey started almost 3 years ago with implementation of data governance framework and data quality management. And we still continue this journey and adding new elements such as microservice cloud-based data platform.
That is a lot of things to have underneath you. So that's
the most challenging, this transformation. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. it's kind of that transformation. It's not a switch flip, right? You have to keep evolving it and moving it forward. So I think a good place to start that we had talked a little bit about in our pre-call was there's, you know, the readiness assessment. Like, what do you have to have in place before you can head down a journey of something like data mesh, whether you're doing, you know, exactly data mesh or whatever? I know you all are, but many of the listeners are kind of creating their own flavor of it. But like, what did you have to put in place from an organizational standpoint and kind of thinking about setting expectations of this isn't, again, that switch flip and that type of thing? Of how did you set yourself up to actually be successful instead of just trying to charge forward and having it all kind of not go quite so well?
So first you need to have some challenges, some problems that you want to resolve by this transformation, and it should be the business program. It can be different in different organization. It might be data quality issue, or you may find out that there is some percentage of time that is wasted on non-value added task. You may check the McKinsey benchmark that shows that 30% of time, it's such large organization, is spent on this non-value non-value added task by data community. It means that instead of analyzing, creating insights from the data, they are searching for relevant definition, for relevant data sources. They need to deal with recurring data quality issue, or have a lot of reconciliation about the for the reports. So it causes also ineffectiveness of data community. So by this defining what is the problem, the real problem, the pain point in the organization, you may start thinking about the transformation, because those challenges should drive this transformation. And we have started this journey 2 years ago with the implementation of data governance, data quality program, because for me this is the foundation. I would not start this kind of transformation without the solid foundation of data governance, data quality. And as I mentioned, for me this is the business transformation, and the focus should be on the business benefits. Commercial initiatives will always push out the technical one, you know. So you should design this transformation through the business benefits to present the revenue upside or some cost efficiency that are coming from this transformation. And you will not do it without the cooperation with the business, without finding some pain points that can be that can be resolved in a first point, because such transformation, this is really long term run. This is not the sprint. So you should prepare top management and all the stakeholders for that, but not count on their patience. So still you need to provide with the agile approach some increments that present the value from this transformation, but it should be designed so as to respond to their problems, the business problems.
I mean, my hand is already a little bit cramping from writing so many notes. So like, that was a really good kind of first answer to this. And so one thing that was kind of in there that Angelo Martelli had talked about in his episode as well was like, prove that you have a problem. If you don't have a problem, you don't need to transform if there isn't any challenges that you're not meeting. And you know, when looking at something like Data Mesh, it's a big undertaking. So one, you know, prepare yourself correctly, as you said, and two, only take it on if it's really, evaluate if it's going to be something that's going to be of benefit and benefit to the business. So could you talk about what were the real challenges that you specifically were seeing? Sure. You mentioned data quality like 4 or 5 times already. So I'm going to guess that was probably one of those, that's something that's in most organizations, or was it time to market of incremental, new insights and when responding to data requests, or what were the real challenges that were impacting the businesses?
Yeah. So first, as you mentioned, this data, recording data quality issue, when we start to monitor data quality, it occurred that the problem is not only in data warehouse, in data lake, but it's caused by the data producers or lack of ownership and accountability for data in the organization. So this is the first point. The second was this ineffectiveness of data community. So because of the current data architecture that we have, or a lack of data catalog. Right now we have, but we haven't. Like right now we have it. So it caused that it was really difficult for data community to find relevant data. And the third problem was that we become as a data team a bottleneck for the organization because demand on data growing. And we are not able to support them. And as you know, like we want to be a data-driven enterprise. It means that more and more decisions should be made based on data. People should have ability to verify business hypothesis, but they cannot be dependent from the data engineers or data analysts. So the data should be accessible by non-technical people. So this is so, and it means democratization of data. So this is our target goal in this transformation.
Yeah, and one thing we had talked about in the pre-call again was that ownership aspect of how do you really what happens in the way that a lot of people do data is that the technical ownership is by the data warehouse team or the data lake team or whatever, but there isn't really a business concept ownership. So we talked about how consolidating that ownership upstream really leads to a lot faster of delivery. So like what, as you've moved through this journey, you know, what have been some incremental things that you've learned that have kind of addressed those three points of, you know, kind of the data quality and the data discovery and the being the bottleneck and kind of alleviating that challenge?
Okay, so like first you need to find out some change agent in your organization. So the departments that really suffer because of the problems with the data and start this journey with them, because it's typically this data governance topic, ownership, data ownership or data quality is perceived as an IT data warehouse topic. And it's not like the whole organization, business departments, marketing, controlling should be involved in this process and should take ownership of those data, because it's in their interest to have the good quality data. They know why, for what they need the data. So this is how we implement this distributed model of ownership. Of course, my team creates the data governance framework, standardized processes, or is responsible for implementation of the tools. But the content given to the data catalog is provided by the business people, business departments, because they know how did what should be the standardized definition of some business term. And they can define the thresholds for the data metrics. So and they also know how it impacts on the business. So it's really like fun, because when you find out those pain points, you can really quickly deliver the some business benefits and prove that it's worth doing. Yeah, because we need this proof. Business needs this proof that it impacts on business, and we have like really several, because we deliver this in sprints. We work agile, and it really even starting monitoring some processes bring additional revenue. So it's only enough to start to monitoring data to bring business value. It's not even it doesn't involve IT implementation in systems, not always. Yeah,
I think exactly what you're talking about, of that, especially on the governance side of, you know, people get very confused by the phrase federated computational governance, because it is a big and kind of overloaded phrase. Data governance, to me, shouldn't exist, because it shouldn't be one topic, right? When you're like, okay, there's data ownership, and there's, you know, access control and risk, and there's the improving data quality and interoperability, and like where you're adding value versus preventing risk versus, it just becomes this thing of this team has to manage like 12 different disparate things that work together well, but also it's too much to throw on one team. So being able to at least push some of that stuff out and have that central team to enable those teams to do the right things is really helpful. So there are a lot of different questions that I could go down from that, because I think that's, you opened up like 15 potential avenues for questions. But I think one thing that could be really helpful is to talk a little bit about what were your early days like, right? As you were moving forward, you know, people are kind of stuck as to, do I have to fully build out my platform first? Do I have to fully build out my governance approach? And everybody's taking a little bit of a different approach to it. So if someone were to come to you and say, how should I kind of get things started? Is it, you know, spend the time to really, again, set your expectations, or to do a small pilot? Or like, we'd love to hear kind of what advice you would give to somebody that's coming to you.
So first, discuss with the business representatives from your organization what kind of data issue they have, like what is the biggest issue and pain point in their area. In our case, there were some, as I mentioned, these data quality issues. So, but we did not really know what is behind, like what is the problem. Is it in data warehouse? Is it in data source system? Yeah, or maybe some different problem. So we prepare a data quality dashboard that monitor in different dimensions all the data groups that we have. And with the process, we also assign data owners, data stewards, to monitor, to look at this data. So, and also we have chosen some reports in which we have discrepancies. And it was because people defined some terms in a different way, calculated in a different way. So we need to have a standardized definition for some reports, and we implement this, and due to this implementation, we're able to have some cost efficiency by this automation, totally automation the process of this this reporting. So, but of course, in the meantime, we started to implement the framework, data governance framework, processes, but it cannot be done in a way that first you do all this stuff that do not bring business value, are not visible by the business. So that's why we choose these quick wins to every quarter present some value to the business. So we started with this data governance, and then after a year and a half, we started to implement this microservice the data platform. Because as I mentioned, these data governance foundations are really crucial, and they also visualize the problems of the organization. So then we can, we have the reason to start this kind of journey. And we also, observe that we are becoming bottlenecked. So the response to not being the bottleneck, to really enable access for non-technical people, this is this platform, because you don't have to be technical person. You need SQL, or you can use the business layer to define your own data pipelines.
Okay. And so if I were to kind of sum up a lot of what you were talking about, was again, start from the talk to the people. Don't assume you've got challenges, or that you assume you know what challenges they are that are out there. You go out and you say, what are the business challenges you're having around data? Or what are the business opportunities we can't take advantage of because we don't have the data? And then you start to figure out what's actually causing those, right? That it's not just, okay, we've got data quality issues, so we're going to all of a sudden say, our data warehouse is the problem, so we're going to get rid of the data warehouse and we're going to change it, versus, okay, like what's actually, investigate that kind of five whys of like, why is this happening? Okay, what, you know, why are you having challenges? Well, it's data quality. Okay, why is data quality the thing? Oh, well, we're seeing mismatches and that we're not exactly figuring out why this dashboard doesn't match that dashboard. Okay, why? Oh, it's because we're actually defining things differently you just keep going down and it's like, oh, because we don't have a clear owner that's saying this is our standard definition and things like that. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that kind of...
Yes, it is exactly because, yes, this is exactly how it started because even when you take like very simple term, like churn, for example, so there is really a lot of details how you can calculate it, yeah? So those, then you see that the discrepancy are not in the data warehouse or not even in the source system, but they are because the data analysts from that different departments take data from the different table calculated differently. So and many data quality issues can be resolved just by standardization of business terms. And like one more important aspect, because in the first phase, it's enough to implement this program bottom up. I mean, to talk with the operational people and find out those problems and resolve the problems. Then you need to have this top management support. I mean, someone on the C-level who really believes in the program, believe in the benefits that it brings, because without that, commercial initiative will always push out and will slow down the whole program. So that's why we also decided to have data governance committee where we have board members who discuss the priorities for the next quarter, strategy, define the strategy together with me and my team for the next quarter, and also deal with the, and this is the place where we can discuss the data quality problems that we have in the company. And even if we struggle with standardization of some definition because organization cannot, like different departments cannot align on some business terms, this is also the place where we can ask board members to decide. So which path we choose.
Right. Well, and it can be okay to have different definitions if it's clear that they are different definitions.
And you
right?
don't say like, it turned on every. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you should name it differently. Exactly.
Yeah. I was laughing a little bit when you brought up churn because I used to run financial planning and analysis for a startup and, well, a couple of different startups. And the concept of churn of, you know, is it dollar churn or is it per, you know, number of accounts churn, or is it, you know, okay, there's just all sorts of, there's, you know, net churn and gross churn and all this fun stuff. I think there's probably within SaaS, there's probably 12 different ways that you can measure churn, and all of them are valid and all of them tell you something different, but it's like, what's our churn number? Oh no, please don't. Right? So one question I have that I'm asking a lot of people, because I'm seeing a lot of different approaches here, which, you know, and some evolve in different organizations and things. It's a bit of a confusing question at first, but I think you'll see where I'm going with it, which is, what are you seeing as the kind of genesis? What is the starting reason for most of your data products? Right. Some people are saying, okay, domains, we want you to share your information. So they share their information without a very specific business use case. Some, there's a very specific business use case and they push back into the domains, and it may be multiple domains are kind of almost creating kind of micro data products to serve into that one combined data product need or that use case downstream. Where are you kind of focused on this? Are you focused on getting people to share more of their data, or is it specific to use cases? What's kind of been working for you?
Yeah, so it's defining by the reporting needs. So analytical departments define what kind of KPI they want to measure, tackle, and this is how it's happening. But if in the same time there is some use case that can be built on these data to better to monitor the development of the product, this is also something that goes or is defined by the analytical departments. And those requirements becoming the requirements of the teams that are building some those products.
And that's kind of a common one of there is a specific kind of downstream use case on that reporting side. And then other people discover that data and they might say, okay, we want some additional data in this. Can you give us additional data? And those data products expand. But I think what I'm hearing from a lot of people is that having that first use case really allows you to prove out the business value, right? You're not kind of pushing out data for the sake of pushing out data and hoping it has value. There's a specific request that you're trying to meet, and you create a data product that's reusable. So it's not just only able to solve that single reporting, whatever, but that you have that to aim for so you can prove out that business value relatively easily and quickly.
And that's why we go back to this ownership in the business hands, because the business drives those and define those needs. Yeah. So if they need some additional data for the use case, they will push to make it happen. So they will make it a part of make it part of their backlog also. Yeah. So that's why this interest of the business departments is important in this process.
Yeah, and that communication between the business and the data side has traditionally never really worked well, because you'd have the business side would go to the data engineers would go to the producers. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Office Space, but there's a guy who's describing his job, and his job is to take the requirements from one team to the other. And they really go, but what actually do you do here? I don't want to throw data engineers under the bus in that way, because they're obviously doing a lot of work. But if we can get out of that communication chain and get people talking on the same wavelength, then the business people can talk to the producers, and those producers might even have additional information that they go, oh, you're trying to figure this out. Okay, what if we actually added these couple of other things that could be interesting and useful to you? So I think a lot of what you're talking about of starting from the business but involving them in the conversation instead of them saying, this is what we want, and then just throwing that over the wall, that they're part of the constant conversation.
Yeah, but this is the process, and this is something that the change of the mindset, because people generally get used to that data engineers provide the data. So we are still at the beginning of the journey. So this change management part, this is still something that we plan to do. Because it means that you have new roles and the responsibilities, new ways of working, new processes. And this is something that we need those business owners to be prepared to explain how they will be affected by this transformation, and convince that it's worth to take part in that. And it's difficult, yeah, because people are always resistant to the change, and they need to see the value for them in this process. So we should first find change agent in one area, focus on this one area that can do one of the use cases together with us, yeah, and then help us explain to other parts of the organization that it helped him, for example, improve time to market, because he doesn't need to wait for my team to prepare the data for him, but because he has self-service platform and can use only SQL, he can do by himself without our support. So it really improved time to market. And for the business, this is important. Yes. So this is something that can convince them to take this additional responsibility to their area.
It's funny, because I've asked people, how do you measure your return on investment on data? And people expect, because it's data, that you're measuring a return on data, that there should be a number or a whatever. but a lot of it's like time to market and things like that, where we understand that there's value, but there isn't a number value that you can really attach to it before you see the results. But it's good that you're seeing these kind of continual proof points that you can then show to the next business owner that might have been more reluctant, where you go, well, this person was able to launch this thing that traditionally, you know, when you've tried to do this, it took you 6 months. This took them 6 weeks. Like, do you want to go from months to weeks?
Exactly, like, exactly. So then, you know, everyone wants to at least try and see how it improves this time to market. Yeah.
So there are a couple of different ways that we could go from what you talked about a little bit ago. You've mentioned a couple of times reworking team KPIs to kind of measure the success and value on focus on incremental value delivery. But also you talked about introducing new roles and responsibilities and how this isn't a sudden change. Which of those would you like to talk about first? Because I think both are really interesting topics.
Yes, this is, so maybe first about these KPIs, because I also want to present the effects of the transformation through those business aspects, because this is still something new, the technology, this data mesh architecture. This is something that we need to be prepared that some change of the road need to be needed. Yeah. And so I do not want to present and monitor and present the benefits of this transformation just by explaining that we implement a virtualization tool or something, but by focusing on the benefits visible in the business department, like, for example, decreasing the time that it's spent on these non-value added tasks in data community. It means that they can invest more time in advanced data science. And as we know, every data analytical data model brings additional revenue or help you reduce churn, etc. So many benefits that advanced analytics brings. So this kind of aspect or time to market. So this is something that we want to track on a quarterly basis, to show if it's really we see the progress in this transformation. Because we may as well implement a lot of technical enablers, but like what? The business, they may not impact on the business at all.
So one question, when you're talking about incremental value delivery, there are a couple of people that I've talked to who say just focus on small win, small win, small win, right? Where it's like you can keep showing that you're adding value, but you're never really focusing on those kind of big wins that might even if you've improved your time to market, it's that you're reducing something from 3 years to three quarters, right? Like that it's still something that's big, big undertaking. So like, how have you balanced those focuses between those small wins to prove out that this is working and that this has value versus those kind of big, heavy hit that could, if you do it really well, that nobody's traditionally really done those very well or very, very few. You know, it's that whole scope creep of, oh, well, we've got 3 years. We can keep throwing in additional scope. And it's like, no, you need to be narrowing your scope. And all, but like, how have you balanced that? How have you balanced the kind of small wins, the high return on investment wins, because you don't have a high investment, with the high, like really big potential value wins, but you do have a significant upfront investment that you don't know if it's going to pay off until down the road?
So there must be some kind of belief that it's worth doing, and of the top management. Yeah, this is like similar as with agile transformation. So you cannot really calculate the exact benefits from the agile, but you believe that it brings some benefits, maybe. Not only revenue, but this faster time to market, for example, and it's hard to connect the time to market with the revenue. So, like, we will not avoid the belief that it will help us be, you know, company that makes even better decision, yeah, because they are made by the based on data.
Yeah, or even higher trust decisions, right? Like that you understand what the quality means, and you understand if this thing doesn't have the highest quality, that you can't trust it. But instead of being like, you know, I'm sure you've had this, especially I've had this with people's Excel spreadsheets where you're like, okay, I got an Excel. I have no idea how this was derived, where this really came from, how trustable this is. So I've got to go and get the source data and redo the same work to make sure that it makes sense and that I can understand like how this lines up. I did like a SQL training course, and if you did the query one with this data set, if you did the query one way, you know, of the joins going through, you know, these three joins across these three tables, the revenue number was like $4.16 out of like, you know, a $5,000 number, but it was still, you know, that's 0.1% off. But it's still like, okay, can I really trust if I go this way versus this other way, it's 0.1% off. Does that matter in the greater scheme? No, but it's, can I actually trust that the way that this data is calculated is correct, right? So like, but knowing that something isn't the highest trust or that it does meet certain quality standards means that you can feel more confident in making those decisions. And you've got like the ability, it's not, from my perspective, a lot of people have talked about, it's not even necessarily time to market of something incremental. It's time to incremental insight, right? Of, okay, we've got this thing, and we instead of it being, okay, we're going to get this with a 1 week lag where we can really trust it and understand it, it's a 3-4 hour lag. So we can move quickly if we have to move that quickly. A lot of decisions, you don't have to move that quickly, but it can be, okay, we're testing out a new pricing model and, oh, nope, this is going real badly. We're in day three and it's going real badly. Let's shift away from it. It's not working versus, oh, we tried it for a month and it cost us, you know, 5% of revenue for that, of incremental revenue for that month. So
I think also, you know, what helped us was this internal survey that we did, because I mentioned this benchmark of the McKinsey, this 30% time that is wasted on these non-value added tasks. So if data community could invest this time in some additional data models, and we know that this demand is really like high in the organization, so we rather need to stop the business because we are not able to deliver some data models, and they know how much money the models bring to their business. So if they hear that they can have like additional few due to the having standardized data collection and data catalog, they will be more willing in taking part in this transformation, because behind those data models there are money.
And one thing that Scott Hawkins had talked about in his episode was working with the producing teams to rework their KPIs as well, to really focus on delivering the value, and that you needed that kind of C-level buy-in. Have you been involved? You know, you're talking about measuring the results of this. Have you been involved in working with those teams as well to give them the time to actually do this and focus on this? Because if all you do is add an additional responsibility, you know, that's not going to get people very bought in that they should do this in most cases. So you either have to give them additional resources, or you have to give them additional time and tooling and things like that to work to do this.
Yeah, but actually we have one of the use cases that producers, my team, and the business sales team were involved, because maybe I will not present the details, but because we start to monitoring this data, we show how they decrease our revenue because we're missing some of the data. Yeah, so we also present how much value they can bring if they will be correct in the systems. So it pushed the system owner to implement the changes in this system, because there was push not only from my area, meaning data warehouse or data lake, because it's, you know, it's something that can wait, yeah. But if the business or sales pushing on some changes, this is the totally different story. And they saw how much they waste because of this problem.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And so I wanted to shift to the other question that I had asked when I said the kind of two different paths, which was, you're introducing new roles, new responsibilities, upskilling people. You're letting people know that this isn't that overnight change, that it's going to be a longer term thing. So would love to hear kind of how you did that, how you identified what should be a new role or what should be new responsibilities under an existing role, and like how you're working with that upskilling and how it's going, and maybe some things that you've learned, some things that you would maybe do differently, or some advice. You know, I'd love to weave that in, but you don't have to answer all of those up front. But you know what I mean? Like, if we can weave that in so that people can take what you've done, because it's being successful, right? Like, you're seeing a lot of success. So how can other people take what you've done and learn from it to implement in their own success?
So I can share only this example from data governance area, because those other roles, this is something still that will be implemented, yeah. But we started with these data owners, data stewards roles, and it started with defining the problem, finding the people in the controlling responsible for the topic. So naturally, in this process, we explain what are the responsibilities of data owners, like why we need data stewards to work with us on this data, the defining data quality, data metrics for some data groups. So this is so we started from the defined use case, specific use case. So I do not believe in some general, you know, upskilling. So now we take two teams and present what is data governance process, how data catalog works. It will not work. So it need to be connected with some process that they are involved in.
And are you having the data owner / data steward, is it different for each use case, or do you have a standardized like thought around how that should work? Because it can be a challenge where it's like, okay, in this domain, the data steward is going to be a much harder, bigger role versus in this kind of smaller domain that it might just be additional responsibility underneath one person versus, okay, we have to bring somebody in new. So how have you seen that work?
Data owners should be someone in a director role, so someone responsible for the whole department. But the data steward, these are people who closely work with the data, so they understand the data, and they are first for whom those data are important. They are because they are use those data for reporting or for some use cases. So this is how they are defined.
So do you find that that's more subject matter expert, or is that data expert?
Subject matter experts.
Okay, because you know, it's one of those things of I've seen some companies splitting it into three different aspects, because they've got that kind of business concept owner, right? That data owner that you've got. You've got the kind of business concept steward, and then the actual data steward, where they're putting that onto somebody who can really, really understand how the data works instead of just the, you know, I start to talk about this, if there's a difference between the information and the data. The information is the ones and zeros of the data, plus the metadata and the concepts and how all that is kind of embedded in there. So, but that there still needs to be somebody who actually understands how to model data and how to process data, and you know, the cost benefits of, okay, well, we could do all of this in streaming, but it's going to cost us 10x more. And there's not really a big business benefit to doing this versus doing micro batch in, you know, and it's still going to be, instead of it's available in a minute, it's available in 10 minutes, but our use case requires it to only be available within 2 hours. So who cares?
Right? Yeah, but that's the additional role of technical data stewards. Yeah. So this is somehow someone who is closer, his data engineer, for example. So it's closer data warehouse or data lake.
So you do have that kind of secondary role of the technical guy.
Yes, for some data groups, yes.
Well, and I think that's also something that's emerging, is there isn't a one size fits all, which frustrates people. But like you just said, for some groups, right? There are some groups where it doesn't need it. It's not necessary. There are a lot of data products and use cases and things like that where, like Max Schulze at Zalando had talked about this a bit in his episode, where for a lot of their domains, they don't need an embedded data engineer. They don't have complicated enough of challenges. You know, a couple of other people have talked about that there's a standard schema and data model and thing that they have within the company, like you'd have with a data warehouse, but you're not forcing everyone to use it if it doesn't fit the use case. But you provide these standard SLAs, these standard schemas, these standard formats, these standards, and 70-80% of the people can just use that, and they can provide high quality data that fits what people need without all the kind of effort of going into super deep technical things. So
exactly, because you know, even when you mentioned this SLA, yes, so there are some data groups that we cannot have, like the correctness of the data should be like almost 100%. Yeah, so for these specific data groups we have separate SLA, but there are some data groups that time doesn't matter, completeness of the data, it would be enough to have 95, yeah, because it will not impact negatively the analytics. So let's say analyze it by the use case by use case.
Yeah, that one size fits all of people expect all data to be 100% correct, and they expect it then, or when you ask somebody, they say, I want it real time. And you're like, what does real time mean? And they're like, well, in the data warehouse, it's been 48 hour delay. I want it within 2 hours. It's like, that's not real time. Like, I'm glad I asked that question. So we talked about this a little bit in the pre-call as well, which was, there are challenges that can come up when you democratize your data. You know, we're talking about, you know, you don't have to be too technical. You can access a lot of this stuff via SQL, or, you know, even just a business logic layer that you've built on top of that. But a couple of people have mentioned this in previous episodes about, if you provide self-serve to access to the data without the actual understanding of what they're accessing, people can form, analysis results that don't make any sense because they don't really understand what's going on and things like that. I think we've all kind of had that of, again, I don't want to just keep referencing Office Space, but there's that jump to conclusions, Matt, right? Where you can easily have somebody that's kind of jumping to their results when they didn't really understand what was happening. So we'd love to hear how you're kind of managing that, or if you've run across those issues already and you don't have a solution, that's totally fine, right? Like everybody's hitting those, but like, how are you approaching that challenge?
Yeah, so for that, we need the standardized processes, and like for more less advanced users, data catalog in our case should be this one single point of contact with the data. So we rather plan to prepare the certified data sets for them, or certified reports, standardized definition. So in this data catalog, they can easily find relevant business term connected with the data set and the report that they probably need and search for the information about some this KPI, let's say. So standardization, this data governance foundation are needed, yes, to have successful data mesh and live in this data mesh architecture.
Yeah, I think that's interesting that you said that for the less technical people, the data catalog is the single point of access versus, because it's not something that's come up in the conversations, but I think now that you've said that, if I went back and asked a lot of people, they would kind of have that same thing of there needs to be that single experience as well, where, you know, data products may have very different information in them. So, you know, a data scientist may have to have kind of a couple of different ways that they access different data products, and they're capable of doing that. You'd like to have a single experience so people don't have to learn an entirely, it's like learning an entirely new, BI SaaS solution for each data product or whatever, that they've got a completely different experience. But especially for these non-technical people, that's such a high hurdle that if they have to completely learn a new way of working for every single data product. So I really like that you said that, but that there's a little bit less restriction around the other folks that are maybe more technical, that you trust them to not get themselves in trouble and to be able to get over those hurdles.
Yes.
So we had talked a little bit about this in the pre-call about taking the organizational principles and like what we're trying to have the team focus on, and not just focus on the tech, but shape what you're doing with this to drive the business. Because a lot of the tech people, I constantly have these conversations with the tech people of it with doing data mesh, that they want to focus exclusively on the tech instead of keeping them focused on why does this matter? How does this drive the business forward? Have you had challenges around that, or how have you kept people focused on actually doing that? Focused on what really matters in the end when you're doing something like a business transformation?
This transformation, this is cross-organizational initiative. So we really closely work with all other departments. And because we have this we work in agile, yes. So every quarter we prepare together with this business representant. So what in next quarter is important for you? And based on that, we prepare also our roadmap. So we do not define, you know, separately only in our department. So what we want to do, what is, you know, next fancy technology that we want to implement, but rather ask the business. So what are your priorities for the next quarter? So as we could prepare for that, yeah, and be ready to deliver those products for you.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, just constantly focusing on why does this matter, right? Like a lot of people really love the technology because it's an interesting challenge, and getting focused on that technology aspect is, again, it's fun and interesting for people, but this has to have a point, right? If you don't have the challenges that you mentioned at the very start, if you don't have business challenges, don't do a transformation.
Yes, but because, you know, this transformation is not for all, because maybe it's enough just to stay as it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't have, or maybe you have even like bigger problems in the organization that you need to resolve, and you know, postpone the transformation for the like later. Yeah. So it's not for all. So if you do not have like the real problems that you want to resolve by this transformation, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Fully. I very, very much agree. So we've covered a whole lot of different things, and I think it's going to be very useful for a lot of people to listen back to this, and especially for those technical people. I really encourage you to listen back to this episode a couple of times, honestly, you know, maybe once every 6 months, to really center yourself back on the business part is what drives this. Like, what are we actually trying to do? But so we covered a lot of things. Is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to kind of in closing, or is there any way that you'd like to kind of wrap up the episode?
I just, you know, want to highlight that this top management support is needed in such a long-term transformation. So without that, without convincing top management that it's worth doing, also not doing, yeah, because it will be really, really difficult to fight with commercial initiative and so prepare for that, to convince the top management.
Well, and you've got to have somebody that has your back. And when you go into these things of, like you said, to prioritize, I've talked to a couple of people trying to do it as kind of a skunk works. And it's like, you're just never going to be able to invest enough in this. You've got to have that backup to really prioritize this. So, well, again, Carolina, this has been really great. Really enjoyed the conversation. If people want to follow up with you about what we talked about today or anything else, where's the best place, and what specifically, if there's anything that you would want them to follow up with you about?
So you can contact me on the LinkedIn. So I ask, if you have any question about like how to work with the business, how to convince organization to make such a transformation on any others, just please contact me.
Yeah, I think that driving buy-in, you'll get a lot of people reaching out to you to ask you about how to drive that buy-in. So again, Carolina, this has been such a great conversation. So thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.
I'd again like to thank my guest today, Carolina Hensel, Data Enablement Tribe Lead at T-Mobile Polska. As per usual, you can find a link to her LinkedIn in the show notes. Thank you. Thanks everyone for listening to another great guest on the Data Mesh Learning Podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors, especially DataStax, who actually pays for me full-time to help out the Data Mesh community. If you're looking for a scalable, extremely cost-efficient, multi-data center, multi-cloud database offering, and or an easy-to-scale data streaming offering, check DataStax out. There's a link in the show notes. If you want to get in touch with me, there's links in the show notes to go ahead and reach out. I would love to hear more about what you're doing with Data Mesh and how I can be helpful. So please do reach out and let me know, as well as if you'd like to be a guest. Check out the show notes for more information. Thanks so much.